Mike Griffith if he gets set for the Georgia spring game this weekend. At Mike Griffith 32, you can follow him on Twitter and find his work at dognation.com. He joins us now on the Michelob Organic Seltzer Hotline. Mike, what are you watching this weekend? What do you want to see most of what Kirby Smart has with this football team as the spring game is going to take place Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, well, what I want to see most, I'm not going to see. I mean, Kirby's not going to put it out there for Clemson to see what JT can do with Justin Robinson, the guy that looks like he's the next man up at Pickens' position. I don't think he's going to take any chances with Jermaine Burton, who suffered a hyperextended knee. I think Jermaine probably could play but won't. Obviously, that's a position they're not going to take any chances with Pickens out. So I don't think we're going to see, you know, what we really want to see, which is what the Georgia offense will look like against Clemson. I think they'd be foolish to do that. So with that being said, I also don't think we're going to see a lot of Kendall Milton, who I think is the best running back on the team. I think that's another one, you know, you're kind of careful with. So I guess the beat writer in me wants to see the backup quarterbacks. I know that sounds boring, but, you know, I've heard a lot about Carson Beck. He was a guy that came in as a freshman last year and didn't play because they didn't have spring. You know, he won a state title in Florida's high school, largest classification level a couple of years ago. He's gotten bigger, stronger, faster, better, and he's going to need to be because this five-star Brock Vandegrift has come in and shown a rifle arm and a lot of athleticism from all accounts. So I want to take a look at Vandegrift and Beck myself. I've heard a lot about this freshman tight end, Brock Bowers, that he's kind of a George Kittle-like. Certainly that's a big name to throw out there. And you know about Darnell Washington, Cole. You've seen that guy, 6'7", 270. He just knocks people over. He's got great hands. And then they got another guy that's 6'7", John Fitzpatrick. He's 23 years old. I think he's a senior. He's another 6'7", 255. You know, those targets are important. You know, JT Daniels needs to have targets. So I do want to see how some of those guys play. I want to see the run game. And then, you know, to me, the spring game's not – does anybody really want to see defense in the spring game? I don't think anybody really wants to see defense. It's always interesting to see who makes plays, but I don't think you go in there going, man, I hope the defense just – stops the offense and we don't see any points scored. Nobody really wants to see that.
Mike, in regards to JT Daniels, has he become a more vocal leader of this football team from all indications this spring?
Well, I mean, you know, he's as vocal as he needs to be. I mean, he's not a rah-rah guy. That's not who JT is. I mean, like, this guy's quarterback royalty. I'm not sure people really understand, you know, who JT Daniels and what JT Daniels is, you know, because recruiting is such a regional sport. And if they're not coming to the SEC, then, you know, a lot of people discount it, right? And then you look at JT's freshman year at USC and you go, well, you know, he didn't do much. He threw for 300 yards on Texas and Notre Dame, but hey, he didn't win 10 or 11 games, and so he can't be that good. Well, let's review. Let's take a look at who we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy that in sixth grade knew the modern-day playbook. Modern-day doesn't mean much to people in Alabama until you look at what they've done lately, what they did with JT Daniels when they won the national championship. This is a guy that started as a true freshman for a powerhouse program that's produced some guys like, you know, Matt Barkley, for one. It was a guy that played at Hawaii, Colt Brennan. And this program has put out some big-time Alabama fans ought to know about modern day. It's where Bryce Young went. He was the next guy. When JT left early, Bryce Young went there. But dialing it back, this is a guy that as a freshman was the Max Preps freshman of the year in high school football. Then he was the Max Preps sophomore of the year. Then as a junior, he went undefeated and won a national title and was the Gatorade National Player of the Year and beat Trevor Lawrence in the U.S. Army All-American game, right? Then he didn't have a senior year. He went to USC. He should have been a high school senior. And then the first game of the next year, he hurts his knee in the first half. He'd already thrown for like 220 yards or something stupid. So this guy's special. He was ranked only behind Fields and Lawrence in that class coming out a year early. Had he waited another year, he'd been the number one overall player. So we're talking about quarterback royalty here. We're talking about a dignified, special player. I know that all the people in Alabama are ready to just bow over right now. I'm sure all of them are bowing and just can't wait for the royal JT Daniels to take over. I'm sure everybody's pulling over right now as a sign of respect when I just say the name JT Daniels.
Mike Griffith of DogNation.com, also the AJC, joining us here on Three Man Front on the Michelob Organic Seltzer Hotline. Mike, I got a buddy who's a longtime season ticket holder at Georgia. He lives there in Athens. His daughter actually attends Prince Avenue Christian High. And you mentioned Brock Vandegrift. All he has been able to tell me for the past year after going and watching this kid play high school football was how good he was. You mentioned how he's turned some heads. Ceiling for Brock Vandegrift versus Carson Beck, just based on what you've heard and the outlook, and I know it's very, very early, but right now, how would you project these two quarterbacks?
Well, it's very, very early. No, but you know, Beck's clear. Listen, this is a pro-style offense, all right? This isn't come and play right away and look to the coach for the sideline and we'll give you the play and you read half the field. All right, that's not what happens here. It happens other places. Probably doesn't prepare you as well for the NFL, as we might be hearing and seeing. But this is a place where you've got to learn to see the whole field. The best example that I got, and gosh, his name slips me, the quarterback coach. But playing in a pro-style offense is like learning how to fly a jet. Not a helicopter, a jet. There's a lot of controls. There's a lot to it. It takes time to be able to do everything. You have to do everything in this. And you might say, well, no, that's crazy. That's too hard. Well, maybe it is, but quarterbacks like coming here, and they like playing at Georgia because they think that it helps them get ready for the NFL. Now, Kirby Smart's got a very small sample size. His name's Jake Fromm, right? That's the only guy he's really had, right, because Eason transferred out after 1 year. He got hurt, you know, Kirby's, you know, after played 1 year for Georgia, transferred out after he got hurt, and Jake took over. So there's a very small sample size. You really can't judge it. But this is a pro style offense, and not everybody wants to stick around and try to learn it. I mean, you can go somewhere else and play right away in a simplified system, and maybe that's smarter in college football. Maybe that's what you should do. It's what Steve Spurrier did. His quarterbacks only read half the field. They didn't read the whole field. They looked to the sideline. Coach told them which side of the field they were going to read, told them where the play was at. And that's simplified. And sometimes the genius is in the simplicity. I said that many times with Tennessee teams I covered. Peyton Manning couldn't win a national title running a pro style. T. Martin goes in there, they simplify it, run the ball, and they beat everybody and go undefeated, right? But it's a pro style system. So to get back to your question, it's going to take Brock time. So to compare him to Carson now, who's been there for an entire year, is kind of unfair. I think it's more fair in another year and even more fair than that the following year. But this is definitely a guy that's going to compete for the job. And, oh, by the way, Georgia's already got another great player in the next class, this Gunnar Stockton kid that beat Brock in a shootout from Raven County, Georgia. So they got this other five-star lined up for this signing class. So these guys are so deep at quarterback, it's just ridiculous. But, hey, at the end of the day, doesn't matter how many stars you got, right? If you can't beat Alabama, nobody wants to hear it. You know, I can tell you all day about how they had a former walk-on four-stringer beating Alabama and Tuscaloosa at halftime last year. And you know what? It doesn't matter because Nick Saban won. And he's won all three times he's played Kirby. Kirby's won, led at halftime all three times. All three times Nick came back. And, oh, by the way, there's another story I put up this weekend, Kirby talking about playing Nick in golf. Thought he had him beat, and Nick pulled a mulligan out late on the round. Is that cheating? I don't know. But Nick was making the rules, and Nick beat him in golf too.
If JT Daniels is college football royalty at the quarterback position, what would Jordan Davis be at defensive tackle?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I can't come up with the adjective. You probably could. I mean, Jordan Davis is, I mean, he's just, you know, we're talking about a guy that's 6'6" and 345 pounds and moves like a cat. I mean, this guy's good. This guy's so good. You know, he got hurt against Kentucky last year with the elbow, and he didn't play against Florida, and that just opened things up because Florida was able to have a little bit of success running. And if you have a little bit of success running, that's all it takes. It opens everything else up. But Jordan Davis is a one-man, you know, gap stopper. I mean, you ain't running the ball up the middle on Georgia, period. It's not happening. I mean, you're not running. If Jordan Davis is healthy and on the field, you are not running the ball up the middle. You're just not. He's a dominator. I mean, he's a destroyer, and he's got great feet. I can't describe him. But him deciding to come back for a senior year, and I think that's where you're going with this, Cole, him and Devontae Wyatt, those two interior defensive linemen. And then they got another guy named Jalen Carter that was a five-star out of Florida in the 2020 class who really stepped up last year. I mean, but there's, and then they got another guy named Julian Rochester that's like a six-year senior who had a knee injury. They are so deep at the interior defensive line. I mean, they do have the best defensive line in the SEC. It's really not debatable. Nolan Smith, a former number one coming off the edge, you know, he's a guy that's replacing Azeez Ojulari, who's a first-round pick. I say the only reason these sports writers in Birmingham didn't put him on the preseason team, they couldn't spell his last name. It's Ojulari, by the way, who'll go in the first round of the draft. But Nolan Smith's going to replace him. They got another guy, Trevon Walker. Auburn fans remember him. They get nervous. They remember how he sacked Nix on the final play of that game there at Auburn a couple years ago when Georgia beat him on the Plains. He's another big-time player going into his third year. I can just keep going on and on and boring people with defensive linemen's names, but they got the best defensive line in SEC, maybe college football next year.
I know one area that depth has been an issue this spring has been at the wide receiver position with Pickens being out and some other issues. So far, how has that group kind of worked out this spring? And what will folks see this Saturday?
Okay. You know, there's nobody that's going to do what Georgia was going to do. There's nobody that's going to do what Georgia was. People are kidding themselves. You can't lose a guy like George Pickens. Like, this isn't Alabama where Waddle goes out, Devontae Smith wins a Heisman, right? It ain't that. They got some pretty good guys at wide receiver, but they ain't got what Alabama had. I don't know many people that had, maybe LSU the year before, but I don't know many people that could match what Alabama's done at receiver these last three or four years. But it ain't that, but it's good enough, okay? It's good enough, and I mentioned at the start of the conversation some of the tight ends, you know, that were kind of jumping out at me. They're going to make Georgia a little bit different type of matchup. And James Cook coming out of backfield, younger brother Dalvin Cook. Of course, he had that 80-yard touchdown on Alabama last year. Tide fans never forget stuff like that. They don't talk about it, but they remember it. Really, the position of these guys is in the secondary because they're going to have five guys drafted out of their secondary into the NFL draft here in a couple of weeks. And that's really the big question. And the good news there is, for Georgia fans at least, the Lewisine kid, the one that turned out the lights on Pitts, he's back. They've got this other guy named Christopher Smith. Bama offered him out of high school too. That's kind of the badge that tells you he's good, right? If Alabama offered him, and he's kind of beefed up in the off season. He played in place of LeCount the last five games last year. Kind of got sand kicked in his face. Wasn't big enough. Wasn't fast enough. So he's gone to work and went with the Charles Atlas bodybuilding program, and he's ready to come back and take on all the bullies. He looks good. He's gained about 10 pounds. Looking good in spring. And then the Jalen Kimber kid, a corner. They still need another transfer. You saw they got the Tyke Smith kid, the honorable mention All-American out of West Virginia. I don't know how that translates in the SEC. He didn't play against Alabama and Florida, you know, I can tell you that. But he ought to be pretty good at least. So you got that guy coming in as a nickel. And then I think they're still going to get a corner. I still think that Georgia is one cornerback short of having a secondary that's good enough to compete for a national championship.
All right, finally, Mike, you mentioned Kirby Smart relaying the story about Nick Saban taking the mulligan and said he was going to use his mully on 18 after trailing. Well, you know what? I think you and the rest of the guys that cover and gals that cover the Georgia beat have such a great relationship with Kirby in those press conferences. Bring it up that Kirby should have established those rules on the tee box at number one, not there at the end. And is he afraid to stand up to Nick Saban and see what kind of response you get?
Hey, listen, I hope the Alabama fans realize that I've taken a mulligan on Saban, because I'll be honest, a few years ago, I thought he jumped the shark. And in the last 2 years, I've told everybody, you know, this, and I was the one pining for him to win SEC Coach of the Year, because that had turned into some weird participation award where you're giving it like some coach at Kentucky that didn't win any. Oh yeah, look at that. He's from a terrible program. He won 9 games. Let's give him coach. What is that? And in the ACC, they gave it to some Louisville coach 1 year. Dabo was undefeated and wins a national title. This guy gives up like 60 points to somebody and wins ACC coach. Well, who started this? Who started this participation trophy coach of the year thing? And I called it out last year. I said, look, I love Sam Pittman. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Sam Pittman. Everybody loves Sam Pittman. I think Arkansas is everybody's second favorite team now with Sam Pittman. But there's no, and Eli Drinkowitz, though, this guy making a case was just a joke. Oh yeah, we're gonna use Georgia as a measuring stick. Hey coach, you might want to shut up before you start throwing that out there and get embarrassed at home. How could you not
make Nick Saban the coach of the year last year. And yet there were people that were arguing that. So I just want to be clear. I'm using my mulligan on my opinion on Nick Saban from 3 years ago. He's the greatest. He's the best. And until, and people can say I talk too much about Georgia, I want them to know you're asking me about Georgia. If you ask me about other teams, I would talk about them too.
All right.
But when it comes to who the greatest is, there's no debate here. It's Nick Saban.
It's Nick Saban. Well, that's a great way to end. A positive note there. And we're going to welcome you back just because of that comment next week. We always enjoy the G-Day game on Saturday. We'll talk
and
to you.
And I love Auburn, too.
We know. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com, the AJC, Mike Griffith, 32. On Twitter, on the McUltra Organic Seltzer Hotline, zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.